We perceive the good life as an abundance of bigger and better things. If we start to feel guilty about this pursuit, we often put it off on our kids and piously say, oh, you know, I didn't get to experience these things when I was growing up, so I'm getting them for my kids. Right? We are infected with a cultural disease around this issue of money. The disease has deadly, deadly consequences. It creates stress as we clamor for more and more. It strains and disrupts relationships. It makes money the master of our lives. And rest assured, that money is an unrelenting slave driver in our life. It will sap every bit of energy. It will sap every bit of spiritual life. It will sap every bit of moral fiber from your bones. It won't let up until it has drained every bit of you dry. Some of us have experienced this. Some of us may be experiencing it right now. Money is a massive slave driver. Many Christians have bought into this philosophy of the need for more, and that quest for more money, more property, and more stuff has gotten us into financial turmoil over and over again. The quest for more things and the lack of money is a stressor that destroys homes and families. We've talked about this before. What are the top two things that cause divorce in the United States? One is money, and the other? Sex. Right. And number two, oftentimes, is because they think they can get more of number one. Right? Money, not of it in and of itself, but the way we use and the way we think about money is not good. It is not money that's evil, but it is the way we think about, the way we use money that is evil. It's a serious problem. And you know what? Thanks to the downturn in the last year of our economy, it is affecting many of us now more than it maybe ever has before. And again, it's not money that's evil. It is the way we use money. It's the way we think about money that is evil. It isn't that the way it is many... I don't know what I wrote there. But the temptations today are so consistent and persistent and constant in our lives. Credit card applications in the mail, telemarketers who try to sell us windows and gutters and vinyl siding and dream vacations. You can't even go to Branson, right, without someone coming up to you and saying, hey, you know what, I have this, is it called shares? I have a timeshare. If you want to come and... Actually, they don't say timeshare. I have this great place. And if you want to come and look at it, we'll give you $100. Right? You see, what is that $100? I think that's a carrot, right? Dangling right out in front of us. Because they know if you come and you look at that place, 85% of us are going to buy shares. And they get a lot more than $100 out of the deal. Right? Folks, it's not money itself. It is the way we use money. It's the way the world uses money. Everyone around us is pressuring us to go for more and more and more. Am I lying to you all this morning? Scripture, folks, has another plan for us. My understanding of Scripture is that we don't have a money problem. We have a spiritual problem. We have gotten away from the basics of faith, and we need to get back to the basics. In our scripture for today, Psalm 23, because of our consumer-oriented society, it is extremely difficult to hear the simple but the radical message it has for us, which is God is the only necessity of life. God is the only necessity of life. You know, in our prosperous times, in our prosperous society, it seems quaint and naive to say that God is the only necessity. I wrote those words down and I was thinking, good Lord, Eric, that sounds dumb. And I'm just being honest with you.